All right, welcome along to the Big Red Bench here on Cork's Go Times Red FM. Dan Casey here with you for the next hour. A huge day for the Cork footballers tomorrow. We will get to that one. And a huge week for Irish football, where we'll also get to. But it's a pretty big hour for the hurlers coming up as they take on Offaly down the park with a league final at stake. And to talk about it before he reports to us from the park, Harry Hayden joined us in studio. All right, we're delighted to be joined in studio by Harry Hayden before you head off to Super Value Parky Cueve for Cork's clash against Offaly. Surely Cork get the job done tonight and put themselves in a league final, Harry.
Well, it would be probably one of the greatest upsets in hurling history, you'd think, if it didn't happen. But, I mean, you never know. Obviously, they just have to draw a win. That's the simple task. And, I mean, they should be putting on a pretty comfortable performance, you imagine. It's probably, I suppose, one of their few sort of games they can maybe take the foot off the gas a small bit.
This is Cork hurling, Harry. We have
we never take the foot off the gas.
Do you know what I mean?
But, you know, they've got a tough run coming up as well. Like, you know, potentially, obviously, if, as long as nothing disastrous happens tonight, they'll be in a league final in 2 weeks' time. Then obviously they've got the two massive championship games, but they should have enough tonight, you'd imagine.
Well, I think from a Cork fan point of view, Kieran Joyce in at fullback is certainly an extremely interesting one. I don't know, has he played here for Cork before? I don't think he has. Darragh O'Leary, of course, was kind of the mainstay throughout most of this league campaign. Is jocked off tonight. Who's going to be in there during championship? If Joycey does well tonight, you'd imagine he could get the jersey for a championship. It's cutting it a bit fine between now and championship is probably my only concern about this. We might have tonight, and we're going to have a league final to try it out in. What's your opinion on it? Is there anyone else we could put in there? Robert Downey's back in the team tonight. He could have gone back in there potentially, but I think Joycey actually is a good one to go with now that I'm thinking about it.
Yeah, it's interesting because he played midfield, I think, didn't he, against Limerick 2 weeks ago. And I suppose the positive thing is that they've been able to use this league campaign so well, and that they've used, I think, some like 31 players or something like that. And you'd hope maybe after tonight now Ben O'Connor will have an idea what his strongest sort of panel will be for that league final and for the Munster Championship. And yeah, I suppose tonight is probably, you could argue, well, I suppose you can use the league final as well, but you want to win the league final as well. So you'd have to say maybe tonight is probably the last game that he could sort of experiment really with.
Yeah, this is the last game of experimentation. You then put yourself in a league final, which I think you kind of have to go at your strongest. If their last game before championship, I think my opinion is you always go at your strongest lineup. Or maybe bar one or two, maybe things you want to have a look at. But I think there's 13 men there who are kind of guaranteed or nearly guaranteed their spot come that championship start time.
Yeah, especially as well, like, obviously, we don't know who's going to be in that final yet. It could be Limerick, it could be Galway, it could, very off chance, it could be Tip as well. But, like, assuming, let's say it's Limerick, all they need to obviously is win or draw. They just need to avoid defeat tonight to Galway, which is obviously in the Gaelic grounds as well. If they can avoid defeat, that's obviously a really good game in preparation of that Munster Championship game against Limerick, which is obviously in the park in less than a month away, I guess, now, or just over a month away. But yeah, he'd have to use that league final. You'd have to go full strength, especially if it's against Limerick, because that would be any game against Limerick's a fairly feisty game at the moment. Like, we saw it even in that league game a few weeks ago. It was it didn't take much for it to kick off. Like,
yeah, certainly. Yeah, probably the greatest rivalry in Irish sport at the moment, in my opinion. Anyway, we have a plethora in the forwards. Jeez, that's a word that probably has never been used in the show before. Of forwards in the Cork lineup, with Hugh O'Connor now and Barry Walsh coming into the fore. Hugh probably hasn't been as impressive as Barry Walsh and William Buckley. Ben's going to have some headaches come championship time here, because you have Dickie Dalton, who started this campaign fantastically, of course, in a full forward. I don't know, is that full forward experiment still going to go ahead? I don't know what the thinking is tonight. Will he get some game time there? But it's so competitive, that forward line. I mean, well, Darragh Fitz is in a 10 tonight, and then you have Shane Barrett, you have Dermot Healy, you have Seamus Harnady, he'll be looking for his start, and now Barry Walsh and William Buckley add the four, potentially Hugh O'Connor after giving him another shot. Like, there's some serious headaches there in Sopper Connolly and Hayes as well.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think the thing for Ben O'Connor is that there isn't any problem in terms of the depth of the forward line. Like, there is just so much depth there, and you'd imagine they should have enough firepower. The problem is maybe the back line, you could argue, going into the important games. But, as you said, today is really the last chance to experiment and see what sort of his best forward line will be for the league final, and obviously those two big Munster Championship games in just coming up in April.
What have you made of Ben O'Connor so far? I know there was the famous night down the park, which I had the pleasure of getting the video of. But what have you made of his tenure? Seems to have brought a bit of steel to this Cork group. The Cork group now, from what were, you know, the other fans, the other counties were calling the softest team in the country, are now complaining that they're playing too dirty, but sure, they just love complaining about Cork because they're jealous anyway. What's your opinion on that?
Yeah, I think he'll be pretty happy so far with his opening league campaign. I suppose you could always caveat it is only the league, and we've seen, like, I saw McGuinness came out this week in the Donegal camp, in the football camp, saying he doesn't care about the league, and you'd wonder, do some managers echo that? But yeah, you can only beat what's in front of you, and the fact he's won every game barring that Limerick game up in 2 weeks ago. But you know, Cork had a fairly experimental team out that day as well. I think he'd be pretty happy with. I think he's taken to the Cork public very quickly. He's just got down to business, and I think, you know, obviously he will be judged. He won't really be judged in the league campaign, regardless whether they win the league or not. He'll be judged obviously on that Munster Championship to retain it, and obviously hopefully the All-Irelands. That's the end goal, obviously.
All right, absolutely. For people who haven't seen the Offaly team, Liam Hoare is in goal, fantastic goalkeeper, only young. Killian Sampson is their centre back, a great hurler. Dan Ravenhill, then another great hurler in the midfield, and then Dan Burke in at centre forward. Adam Screeny, of course, in a corner forward, and Brian Dignan in at the full forward. But saying all that, our lads are more than enough to get the job done tonight. Harry, I'm feeling confident, as any good Corkman normally does anyway. What do you think score is going to read?
Oh, that's a tough question. I would say I'm going to go 3 goals and 20 points to Offaly's 15 points.
I think that's a pretty good prediction. I think that their full forward line is lacking something. So I'm going to go 4 goals and 22 points to Offaly, whatever they get. But look, it might,
we're both correct.
Well, look, if Offaly give Cork a bit of a game, it might not be the worst thing in the world. Ahead of championship or league final, just to shake them up a little bit. But Harry, it's great having you in studio. You have to fly off now, but thanks, Mil. Thanks for coming in.
No worries, Dan. Cheers.
Yeah, there'll be plenty of updates from tonight's game on the big red bench tomorrow. Going to go quickly to the footballers now, and there's a huge date with Destiny for them in store up in Tyrone to talk about it. Our very own John McCarthy. Right, we're delighted to be joined here on the Big Red Bench by, of course, our very own Joe McCarthy. Cork taking on Tyrone tomorrow in Omagh in a huge clash for the Rebels, having been in Division 1 football in 10 years. Joe, what's at stake here?
Very simple, Dan. Win and we're in. Promotion is in Cork's own hands. They head up to Tyrone for tomorrow's game, as you said, with a 1:15 throw-in. And in O'Neill's Healy Park, and it's very simple. Defeat Tyrone and they will definitely be promoted to Division 1 for the first time, as you said, in 10 years. They can afford to draw as well, depending on other results. But yeah, and at the very start of the year, after the first league game, when we spoke to John Cleary, he said if you asked him that Cork would, if you offered him promotion to be in Cork's own hands going into the final league game, that he'd have bitten our hands off. And he repeated that the last day in Park Ewing after Cork beat Kildare. They've done really well to put themselves into this position. There's been previous years where we haven't been in this position, so it's a real positive. It is all in Cork's hands, but they've got to go to Tyrone. They've got to put in a full 70-minute performance, and if they get the victory, they're guaranteed promotion to Division 1 and the Division 2 final as well, which would be nice. But I think from Cork's point of view, Cleary's point of view, to have it in their own hands, I think is a real, real positive.
Do you think that training camp abroad will have helped them out coming down the run stretch after the last game and then onto this one, after the Derry ass whooping?
Yeah, I think just getting away from everything for a while, it never does any harm, and it certainly helps the squad, I think, to settle and to blend, adapt it better, and you're away from the glare of everybody asking you questions about how things are going. And I do think it's a positive thing, and I think in terms of being able to afford to do it, I certainly don't think it's done Cork any harm. The key thing for Cork is that they put a game plan in place that works for the full 70 minutes, Dan. That's been the only Achilles heel this year, because like they've won 5 out of 6 league games, and that's really, really good going, and a positive. It's a huge improvement on the previous years in Division 2. So Cork are definitely a step up on where they were last year and the year before in terms of performance. But they were hammering Kildare 122-106 at Park Green the last night. And instead of going out and just making absolutely sure and keeping their foot on the throat and killing this Kildare team off, you know, they let them back into the game. They needed a Mihály Martin penalty save and two other top-class saves from the Nemo Rangers player in the second half. And it's been an unfortunate recurring theme still, despite being, you know, going so well in Division 2 this year. Like, we lost the second half to Derry, as you mentioned, up by 16 points and eventually lost by 20. We allowed Offaly and Kildare, two sides with the greatest of respect to them that are fighting relegation, to close their losing margins to 9 and 10 points when we were well ahead of them. And that is a worry. If we don't get a full 70-minute performance against Tyrone, like, will it come back to haunt us? I suppose on the positive side of things, we've won more than we've lost this year. We were excellent against Meath, we were excellent against Lowe's, and we've, where we would have lost close games in Division 2 in the previous years, we've learned how to win. And I think that's come down to Cleary picking consistently, like picking more. He's picked the same team again though for tomorrow that started against Kildare. He's given players a chance, but he's also enhanced his squad and his panel. He's got some game changers coming off the bench if he needs them. So I think on the outside looking in, you're saying, yes, this is a real improvement on recent years. It's great to be able to show the promotion, but there are still signs of the old failings of Cork. When they fade out of matches, they allow teams back into the game. You can't do that in the National League, and you certainly can't do it come Championship. But we're in a much better position than we were 12 months ago. We have a chance here to go to a Tyrone team that don't really have anything to play for. There is a mathematical chance they could be relegated. I acknowledge that. But look, Malachy O'Rourke is a wily operator, and like, he's got one eye on their Ulster Championship opening round game against Armagh. That's what he's looking towards. I think we'll get a performance out of Tyrone, certainly. They won't want to lose on home patch. But Cork need a full 70-minute performance, and that's the key thing tomorrow. 70-plus minutes, and we'll give ourselves every chance of winning.
Surely this Tyrone team, I mean, you said nothing to play for, nothing to really to play for. There's massive rumours, and we know all about rumours down at Cork, about management and players, that they're not playing for Malachy, and there's big tension in the camp there. Surely if Cork are going to take Tyrone, tomorrow is going to be the day, and for a big, big prize on offer.
Yeah, our record against Tyrone isn't great, but you're right. The report, certainly, there's no smoke without fire, and there's been too many reports to suggest that it isn't true. There isn't some truth to the fact that all is not well in that Tyrone camp. But whether Derek Canavan is there or not tomorrow, they've got the likes of Eaton Jordan, they've got Matty Donnelly, they've got Rory Canavan, and they've got Owen McElholm. There's guys here who've been playing really consistently well this year. And I guess if I'm Malachy O'Rourke and things aren't going well, well, I'll turn around to the players and say, well, look, whether you agree with me or disagree with me, whoever plays well tomorrow has a chance of starting in the Championship. And that's really what I think Tyrone are playing for tomorrow. They're not necessarily playing Cork, but they're playing for a bit of pride, and they're also playing to get on that starting 15 against Armagh. If things aren't going well, certainly, you're right, from Cork's point of view, there's no better time to go up and play them. It's a pity we're not playing them at home, because our home record, and certainly the move to Parky Ring, has been probably the biggest positive this year, and that the players have responded, and the tighter ground and the better atmosphere and the bigger crowds have certainly egged Cork on. But look, you've got to play the cards you're dealt. You've got to go up there and get a result. And sometimes, apart from the Derry game, where we just weren't at it at all, you know, sometimes playing away from home, I think, suits Cork. They like to play in the counter-attack. They like to get the ball and move it fast, and that will suit them. The onus will be on Tyrone to take the game to Cork, and I don't think that's a bad thing from Cork's point of view. But certainly, even though things mightn't be going well off the pitch, they've got players that can hurt us, and our backline is certainly going to have to in front up tomorrow.
Do you think they will? Do you think we have enough in the tank to get it done?
I do, and I think the reason we do is because our forwards are absolutely flying it this year. Like, Iberia's Chris O'Jones, he's the top, the Division 2 top scorer yet again this year, going into the final round of games, and he was excellent against Kildare. And himself, Stephen Sherlock and Mark Cronin, and Dara Sheedy as well from Bantry Blues, the young guy who's come out to the panel, they've spread the scores nicely this year, but O'Jones is definitely playing his best football in a red jersey. Sherlock, we know what he can do from out long of distance. And Mark Cronin, I keep saying it on the radio, does not get enough credit. And when you think about it, Dan, right, they're the players we're talking about there, the guys that we look to for scores. You know, Paul Walsh and Sean McDonald are normally, and they're listed as well in the forwards tomorrow. They're crucial to us around the middle third. But we haven't mentioned Brian Hurley. We haven't mentioned David Buckley. We haven't mentioned Cathal O'Mahony. We haven't mentioned Conor Corbett. There's depth now, and there's options for John Cleary if he needs to use them tomorrow, essentially, against Tyrone. And I think the big, big plus point coming out of this year is whatever about consistency and improved performances. The two-pointers that are, like, we scored 19 two-pointers this year, which is fantastic. Now, a lot of those came against Kildare when the defending wasn't great. But we can hit and hurt teams from outside the two-point arc and inside it. We've got goals in the team as well. And I think goals rather than two-pointers will be crucial tomorrow against Tyrone. I think it might come down to goals. I think just the way that this team is playing and it's turned things around this year, I think they've got a real self-belief amongst the group. It certainly has helped them, seeing them on the pitch afterwards with all the kids asking them for autographs. I mean, you wouldn't be human if you were a Cork inter-county footballer then, watching the way the hurlers are absolutely adored in the county after every league game, after every challenge game, after every training session, and the autograph hunters. And I think I've seen an upturn this year that there's much more people coming out to watch Cork this year in the National League, probably because it's in Park Ring and it's that bit better atmosphere. But the reaction of the crowd and the way the crowd carried them the opening day in Park, Super Value Parky Creeve against Cavan, and the way they've risen to them in Park Ring, it's definitely had a positive effect, because some of the players, not all, but they've name checked that in different interviews. I'm hoping that away from home tomorrow, that what they've done over the past couple of months, the work that they've put in away, out far and in the training camp, and the belief that this group now has. They've been around together for the last few years in Division 2. They're not newcomers. Like, you know, possibly Dara Sheedy is really the only out-and-out newcomer that I can think of off the top of my head. The rest of them have all played together for Cork. They've been down this road. They've failed to get out of Division 2 before. I think they're ready. I think they're absolutely ready. You like to see Luke Fahey is flying, Tommy Walsh, Brian O'Driscoll, we haven't mentioned. And that full back line will be absolutely key tomorrow to quieten that Tyrone forward line. And I think in Mara Shanley, Danny Manny, and definitely Sean Brady was really upped it as well this year. You know, I think it's a really solid, it's a settled Cork team. There is pressure, yes, to get the result. But as John Cleary said at the start of the year, I'd rather the pressure be on this group to get promotion than be looking over their shoulders like they have done for the last few years. It won't be easy. Knowing Cork, it won't be straightforward, but I expect them to get over the line.
Is this the culmination of the last few years of John Cleary's work? Because if they go and lose, it feels like it could be a damaging one, really, to Cork football.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think himself, I think John Cleary and Kevin Walsh, the reason John stayed on for the extra 2 years, I think he could see what was coming, or he believed he could see what was coming with the group of players that he's entrusted. And they want to return it for him too, and for Kevin Walsh, and for the rest of the management team. It's so easy to be negative about Cork football. Like, I've spent a bit of time here now nitpicking about, you know, second half performances, but overall, they're much, much better this year. They're much more consistent. They look a lot more confident. They move the ball at pace, and we've got killers inside in that final third of the pitch that can hurt any inter-county defence. Now, again, caveat, it's Division 2 of the National League. But if John Cleary and Kevin Walsh and the next generation of Cork footballers, not just next year, but the year after that, want to take the next step, want to get out of this malaise, we've got to get up to Division 1. We've got to be playing Kerry, Dublin, Armagh, Donegal if we want to improve. We're within 70 minutes of doing that on the back of a really consistent, really, really good performance this year. And I think that's down to the foundation that John Cleary and Kevin Walsh have laid over the last 2 or 3 years, and the belief that they have in these players. I think the players are responding to that now. They want to do it for John. They want to do it for themselves, obviously, but I think they want to do it for him just as much as they want to do it for themselves, because they see the work that's been going in over the last few years, the failings. If we don't get up, it would be a huge, huge disappointment, yes. But I judge Cork every year on the Munster Championship and the All-Ireland Championship. It would be a big disappointment, but let's stay positive, because if we get up, the boost that it will give Cork going into the Munster Championship, where they have nothing to lose, will make them a very, very dangerous side to play against.
Would it be tough in the long run, George? Do you think they'd be able to compete with those Division 1 sides? You look at the calibre, even Roscommon now coming to the fore, Mayo, new lease of life, Kerry, Galway, Dublin might be relegated. But those calibre teams, could Cork get an absolute drubbing against those teams, and that could do more damage then to them in the long run?
Yes, I think it's a good point. And what I do is I turn the answer towards the Cork ladies footballers who are playing this evening. They were in Division 2 for a year. Brand new manager, Joe Carroll, lots of players left the panel, and a lot of people were looking at the Cork senior ladies going, this is going to be very, very tough. They got out at the first time of asking, and now they're 60 minutes away from reaching a Division 1 final this year. The boost that the Cork ladies players got by going back to Division 1 and playing against better quality opposition brought a new level of performance out of them. Go back to the men. I think if Cork go up to Division 1, yes, they may take some drubbings. But I also think the fact that they've got to up their game to play Kerry, Armagh, Dublin, or whoever's up there, the Roscommons, by psychologically forcing them to up their game and up the training, I think you'll get a positive result. Or I think staying up in Division 1, if we get there, would be the number one thing the first year. And then you build from there. It's incredibly difficult to do that. But unless we get up there and test ourselves, we're never going to move on, Dan. We're never going to move on past Munster and always being, you know, second best to Kerry. And the only way you beat Kerry is by being better prepared coming into the Munster Championship. And just imagine that, like, we've already beaten them in a pre-season game that, you know, it doesn't mean anything or much. But the psychological thing of having a good National League campaign, maybe taking a scalp of Kerry, maybe taking the scalp of Dublin or somebody like that coming into the Munster Championship, it ups everybody's levels and it ups their intensity. It ups the whole thing to set up across the board. I've seen it with the ladies. I've seen it with Camogie. There's no reason it can't also work with the Cork senior footballers. Yes, we take a couple of drubbings, I'd say, if we got up there. But I also think we'd upset a few teams as well. And the longer we stay in the Division 1, Dan, the better overall this team will be. Imagine the blooding young players against Kerry, against Roscommon, against Monaghan, instead of against Louth, against Kildare and Offaly. They're going to get better as soon as they come into the senior team. And it's an absolute must. It'll be a huge disappointment if we don't get there, but let's get there as quickly as we possibly can and let's kick on, because we will not kick on the longer we stay in Division 2.
Expertly put. Sure. Lastly, I think you've already got to it earlier anyway, to be fair. Where do you think it's going to come down to tomorrow? What is going to be the difference between Cork getting Division 1 football?
I was looking at it from the point of view of two pointers, and the fact that Tyrone haven't kicked as many as we have. Like, we've 19 so far this season, and that might be significant. But I think, I worry that Cork might clam up at the start. I think it might be a nervy start, and I think it might be a pretty awful game to watch until the second half, and hopefully things break out. I think it's going to come down to getting quality ball into Chris Oak-Jones, Stephen Sherlock and Mark Cronin, Dara Sheedy, and let them do their thing. They are lethal if they get in around that square, around that goal. And I think that Tyrone backline can be got at. But we've got, what it will boil down to, though, as it has done in previous games, when we were wiped out by Derry, we lost the middle third battle. Colm O'Callaghan and Ian Maguire and Brian O'Driscoll and Paul Walsh and all these guys, if we rule the middle third, or if we win the battle in the middle third, the majority of possession, we're more than likely going to win the game. But it would be absolutely crucial that we do that. Conditions look like they're going to be good and perfect, and maybe not as much of a win, and that's a good thing. So there's two things Cork have to do. Win the middle third and don't fade in the second half like we have done in some of the games this year. If we play for the full 70 minutes, we get enough quality ball into those forwards that I've mentioned and take our goal chances, I think we'll win.
All right, well, we'll wait and see. In Oma tomorrow, 1:15. Fingers and toes crossed, Sharp.
Absolutely. Cheers, then.
Cheers, Sharp. Well, it's a huge week for the Irish footballers, the soccer kind, that is. And to talk about it in studio earlier on, I was delighted to be joined by Dara Murphy. All right, we're delighted to be joined here in the Big Red Bench studio by Dara Murphy. Dara, you're back. Normally, now we have a Cork song or two for the Cork sporting public. But today, we have two Irish songs you're going to play for us here out on Red FM. How did they come to be in there, first of all?
Well, again, good to be back. Again, I suppose I came around through delusion yet again. You know, thinking we're going to go all the way and win the World Cup, I suppose. And that's how anything starts, really, with me.
Well, it wouldn't be like a Cork fan in there, I think.
No, not at all. We're going all the way.
So anyway, the first song, where did the inspiration for that come from? And the one, I think the main one for this year, and it's incredible.
Yeah, I think it's called "Would You Like to Win with Heimer." We wrote it there. Well, I haven't thought of a name yet, because it hasn't been released officially to Spotify or anything, which will be out hopefully at the end of the week. Yeah, we're on TikTok Live. We're thinking, I think it was like day after, maybe even day of the Ireland match against Hungary, and thinking, you know, let's get a song going for Ireland now in come March. We have lots of preparation and stuff, so just literally spitballing songs, chords, lyrics, throwing players in, having a laugh, and eventually Linger came about. We were like, okay, we'll do a bit of a cover on Linger here. What players can we throw into? Troy Parrott, Liam Scales, Quiveen, perfect. That's the goal in reverse, you know.
Yeah.
Troy Parrott, Liam Scales, Quiveen. Like, that's a little insight there for you lads.
Well, how do you think they're going to get on? I mean, you were there saying you're going to play get the song up on Spotify later on in the week. Like, how late are we talking here?
Well, before checking a match for my own good.
Yeah, well, hopefully. How do you think we get on?
I think so. Czechia at the moment are in a bit of a disarray as well. We're kind of showing a bit of form. We've won our last three, which is, we've rarely said about any Ireland team ever. Czechia have just stripped Suchek of captaincy. They lost 1-0 to the Faroe Islands. They're in the mud as well, basically. So it's you know, we couldn't have asked for really a better or worse opponent. It's a good opponent to be playing. I think we'll be fine. We're going away now to Czechia. Like, just, can you imagine the scenes? If we get through that, we'll get carried away before the final even happens. We'll get carried away before the semi-final happens, and we're going to America.
What to be honest, the people are, I think, booking flights to America already. Like, the hype for it is unbelievable. Because Denmark, to be fair, as much as they have been a good team in the past, they don't look like they're in a great place either at the moment with the amount of injuries that they have.
Yeah, I mean, we're also discounting who are they playing, North Macedonia. Could they get a result against Denmark?
I don't think so, but yeah, like, looks positive enough. Hopefully on the Irish front we can go and do it. Hopefully there'll be big Cork influence on the team as well. Surely our very own Cleaven Keller will be a huge difference maker on the night.
I mean, he's such a, when you have a top goalkeeper like that who's played in the Prem, who's played at high levels, he saved penalties from, everyone said, you know, Mbappe, Ronaldo. I think he's one of the highest penalty records, save records in the Prem alone, and now he's getting first team experience for Brentford, so he's only getting better. Like, having someone like that to even bail you out when mistakes happen at the back, or when inevitably better teams like France or Spain, all these teams will break you down, having a top keeper is such a good help.
Well, you're going to hopefully interviewing them as well later on
Monday, hopefully. I mean, we'll see what players we get. I'm hoping to ask them a few questions from a fan's perspective, kind of ask how they're feeling, you know, kind of how they felt after last game, you know, who's on the tunes, I'd love to know what kind of tunes I want to know what kind of tunes they were listening to after the game, like who throws on a bit of Fields of Athenry or something, or like someone definitely trying to kill, I know, he's saying one of the Cork lads.
Well, they can't do what the Irish women team will have done a few years ago.
I heard, getting cancelled for that.
But look, anyway, you're feeling positive about a victory. Hopefully the song will be getting played. You think the working title is Would You Like to Win With Heimer?
Either Would You Like to Win With Heimer or I Would Like to Win With Heimer. I think I would like to win
I'm
with
sure
Heimer
if you look
better.
It up on Spotify anyway.
It'll be out there somehow. Tomorrow or the day after, and we'll have it up before Czechia. All goes well, we beat Czechia, and it'll be a nice week of that song as well. We'll play on the radio a bit as well.
Where can people find it on the socials? I'll be sure to pop it up on my own.
Durph on TikTok, Instagram, Spotify, YouTube, all the same, DURPH_. That's where you'll find all my songs and stuff.
Okay, brilliant stuff. Well, without further ado, please
I better go get the guitar. One second now. Right, here we go.
We'll find a way. Would you like to win with Heimer? Would you like to? Would you like to? I would like to win with Heimer. If I would even sack it.
Low lie the fields of the Lansdowne Road, where once we watched King Robbie play.
And could he play?
Now we've got Parrot, Eda and Colin, Scales, Mullumby and Cullen. Heimer will bring us glory once again.
Go again.
Low lie the fields of Lansdowne Road, where once we watched King
Yeah, great stuff from Dara and Killian there. Come on, the boys in green, a huge week in store. We will hear from Heimer after the break. Welcome back to Red FM with Dan Casey on the Big Red Bench. Well, we said we're going to hear from Ireland manager Heimir Hall Grimson, and here he was speaking to Off the Ball's Ben Symes ahead of Thursday night's huge game with Czechia.
Heimir, we're just 7 days out now from the game in Prague against Czechia, a game that I feel like it's been coming for a long, long time. How excited are you for the week ahead?
Yeah, it's tough when you have a good momentum not to play the next day or the next week. It's been 4 months, so no, really excited. Hopefully we can use the momentum we had in November and kind of repeat the things that we did well and just add on some areas as well. But really looking forward to it. These are the games that true professionals like to play. So speaking to the players, everybody is just looking forward to coming together and take on this big challenge.
How do you go about building that momentum back up again? Because you gave the whole country really a lift back in November. Is it hard to maybe bring that momentum back and remind the players of what they did a couple of months ago?
No, I think everybody remembers what we did and what happened. So the feeling is there. It's just showing them the tactical bits that we did good. Just reminding them on the identity we have and just reinforcing the things that we have been doing. It's always going to be a tough match. Obviously, it will be played until we get results, so we can expect 120 minutes and we can expect penalties, etc. So we just need to be prepared for what is coming.
You've brought a couple of new faces into the squad. Harvey Vale has come in, he's switched allegiance from England. How do those conversations go, and have you been impressed with his form for his club, Queen's Park Rangers?
Yeah, he's been improving at Queen Park. He's growing fast there. Obviously, he came in there injured, and they knew that he would be out for some time when he brought him in. And I had a talk with him probably over a year ago, and he expressed his desire to play for us. He already had a passport. So I've been watching him since then, and I think this is the correct time to bring him in. And looking forward to working with him. We need to get to know him a little bit better, show him what we are doing and getting him involved in that one. But obviously don't like many players coming in as new players in such an important moment. But he is a match winner. He is a good attacking player. He's good engine, good height, hard-working player. I see him as a potentially big player for Ireland in the future.
You had a couple of injuries in the attacking area of the pitch. I know Evan Ferguson was out, which is a huge loss for your team and for the nation as a whole to see him up there up top. I know you had conversations with Sammy Smodic over the last couple of months, and you brought him back into the squad. What can he give the team?
You know, the qualities of Sammy is just a hard-working, quick player, really attacking-minded, direct. So a lot of things that we like in our players. He's done really well when he has played for us. And he's been out because of injuries for some time. So just happy to be here. Happy to have him back here. Sorry.
Dave McGoldrick was a player who was in flying form for Barnsley in League One. We know, obviously, he hasn't played for the national team in a number of years. Were you tempted to give him a call back up?
He was in the frame. We were just looking at all our options. What options do we have? And his name came up when we were discussing. And obviously, he's done brilliantly with his career, I would say. A few years back, he decided to stop playing for the national team. So John O'Shea gave him a call and said, what if, would you be ready to come? And he was surprised but delighted to have the call. So it's just we wanted to have a plan A, a plan B, plan C. If something would happen, he was kind of in our thoughts, and that's the reason why we gave him this call. We just wanted to know if would he be ready if we would call him up.
And just finally, obviously it's a huge game, potentially another huge one a couple of days after. Seamus Coleman and Robbie Brady have beat their fitness test to get into the squad. How important is it to have them not just on the pitch but also their characters in that dressing room? There's a lot of young players in there.
Yeah, it's huge. Not only for this squad that is fairly young, a lot of young players, even though they've had now probably 20 internationals. So it's really important to have these players that have done this before, just to share their experience. But we're obviously picking them because of their football qualities, not how good they are outside of the pitch. But now for these guys, the majority of the squad, this is probably the biggest game they've played in the Irish shirt. But they have experience, and I need to give thanks to Stephen Kenny to pick these young players and give them their first games. And he should be proud seeing this team doing so well now, and he has a big part in all of this kind of growth which is happening at this stage.
Nice meeting Hamer. We'll see you in Prague.
Welcome.
Moving on to hurling now on the Red FM Cork J. County Hurling Leagues continue this weekend, where 4 in a row Division 1 League champions Sarsfields will be looking to bounce back from their previous defeat to Glen Rovers. And the reigning Cork Premier Senior Hurling Championship manager Johnny Crowley spoke to the Big Red Bench's Ger McCarthy about his club's determination to do well in the Red FM County League once again this year in preparation for the 2026 County Championship.
No, the 2026 Red FM County Hurling Leagues are back up and running. We're entering this weekend and a second round of fixtures in Division 1 of the Hurling League. One of the big names, obviously, every year are Sarsfields, the current reigning Premier Senior Hurling County Champions and winners of the last three Red FM Division 1 Hurling League titles as well. We're delighted to be joined on the line now by the Sarsfield manager, Johnny Crowley. Johnny, how are you?
Hey, Joe, how are you getting on?
I'm getting on really well. Appreciate the time. You're back into another. It's like it never ends, Johnny, I'd imagine, for a club manager, because it seems like only yesterday we were talking about the county final success that you had over Middleton, and then we into Munster disappointment against Ballygunner. But the county league brings things back into focus pretty sharply. Were you glad of the break ahead of the county league, or has it come at just about the right time to get things going again?
No, we were delighted with the break, to be honest. It's been a pretty hectic years. And I suppose carrying on from 24, we didn't really get a break in 25. We came off the back of the Ireland Cup final in late January 25. And we were back playing Senior Ireland League again, I think, maybe, you know, close on 6 weeks straight after it. So we didn't really get a break from 24 to 25. So after the defeat against Ballygunner in late November, we told the lads to go in and, you know, chill out and enjoy themselves for 2 months and, you know, forget about hurling and, you know, recharge the batteries. So we didn't go back until second week in February. So we've very, very little hurling done out here, but that's the plan. We're in what we probably call phase one of what we want to do. So we're in a kind of an SSC program as we speak presently. So there's a lot of running and basically just building a foundation that when we do start pulling the trigger, that we're happy where we are, you know. So I suppose to answer your question, yeah, we were very, very grateful after break. And, you know, I know the lads use their downtown thing well in terms of, you know, completely tuning out of hurling and all things associated to it, and just probably enjoying a bit of a break and a bit of normal time for a while, you know.
You've always taken the Red FM County Hurling League seriously, Johnny. You haven't just used it necessarily to, you know, to get players up to fitness. You've been anxious to win every competition that you enter, and the Red FM Division 1 Hurling League is no different. Is that the same this year, or is it just accumulation from what you've said there over the last couple of years? Are you more careful now about the playing time for your players rather than focusing out and winning it?
Yeah, well, I suppose focusing, like, you'd always focus to play a game, no matter what kind of a game it is. But I suppose in 23, when we came on board, we really did kind of look at the league and try and build a foundation for what we wanted to do going forward in terms of, you know, trying to find players and maybe trying to get a springer from the panel that might put his hand up or two or three. And I think we've certainly done that in terms of, you know, guys that probably weren't automatics or weren't considered in, you know, 2020 pre 23, and they definitely came to the fore. I suppose this year is slightly different in terms of we did take an extended break. You know, I think it was nearly, I think it was around the 15th, 16th of February before we finally got together and started doing the work. So like we haven't really picked up early as of such yet. But look, I suppose we'd probably wait and see how the league goes. I suppose your first and foremost job is to cement your place in Division One for the following year. You know, to be fair, you get some really good competitive games, and you know they're well organised. You know, good referees, good venues, and you know they always bring a nice little crowd there on a Saturday evening or a Sunday morning. So I suppose initially. We lost our first game last 2 weeks ago against the Den on Friday night. It was a sizable crowd down in Teddy McCarthy Park, so that started off for us. So we're killing out next Sunday morning. So again, like it's probably just accumulated 2 points, make us that safe for the following year. And I suppose later on in the league, if you're thereabouts or you're within touching distance of maybe making semi final or final, you know, I suppose you might refocus your thoughts then on that. But to answer your question, no, we haven't, you know, sat down and said, look, let's go all headed for the league this year. But who knows what's ahead in terms of the game and stuff like that, you know.
Yeah, and as you mentioned there, Johnny, like the quality of the opposition that you'll be facing over the coming weeks, as you said, Killa this weekend, you got Charleville, you got Blackrock up there, you got Carrigtwohill and the Barrs, and of course Middleton, who you know well from last year's county final. That level of competition, everybody's kind of in the same boat as yourself. They're sussing how many points they have at a point that they make a decision about, are we really going to go for this? And we want to, everybody, I suppose the bottom line, as you said, with a Division 1 County Hurling League, is staying up so that you have that level of competition. How much has the level of competition helped you in the run into the championship in the latter stages of the league over the last couple of years?
So I suppose, George, to answer the question, we found it really beneficial in 23-24 in terms of when we were at a position that we were in a position to maybe get to the latter stages of the league, particularly 23. I think it was Blackrock we played inside in Parky Ring, and we found that usually beneficial in terms of the squad we had hadn't been competing at the business end of championship hurling, and we just found the match day setup. We kind of almost tried to image it towards a county championship game. So, you know, we got the bus and we got our nutritionists, we got all that kind of stuff ready, and we kind of, it was like a pre-championship game. So I think that was hugely beneficial to the younger lads who hadn't been experienced of going into a senior hurling championship game. So I really did feel that 23 finding at Blackrock was hugely beneficial. And likewise in 24, I think it was Charles who played in the final. And again, when we got to the latter stages and realized, you know, look, we have a slip of maybe get to another final. Again, we kind of tried ourselves to try and get there, which we did. And again, we used that then as a pre-championship game, and the whole setup was literally like a championship preparation in terms of logistics and timing and stuff like that. And, you know, that can only be beneficial to any club team, to be honest with you, because you're getting rid of maybe a few pre-championship nerves, and you get to the championship then, you've been there, you've done it, you know the timing, you know the logistics of going in and out, everything is sort of prepared. It's like a pre-run. So I find the leagues very beneficial. I think, you know, as I probably said earlier on, like, you know, they're hugely competitive games, they're well refereed, the grounds you go to 90% of the time, 1% of the time I should say, sorry, is they're well prepared but manicured. So every club in Division One, you know, really prepares well for these league games. So whether you're playing at home or away, the setup is really good, and you can't buy that fight because, you know, challenge games can be very iffy in terms of you might get a good challenge game, but you get to get a 60-minute challenge game, you get a good challenge game for maybe 30, 40 minutes, and inevitably they just die out, you know, because the opposition are kind of emptying the bench, or you're emptying the bench, so that competitive 60, 65 minutes is not there for a challenge game, whereas I think with the leagues, no matter who you're playing, you'll always get a high quality game, particularly in, as they say, in Division 1 of it, you know.
Certainly will, and it looks like we're going to get that over the coming weeks in the Red FM County Leagues, the defending Red FM Division 1 County League champions, and of course the reigning Co-op Superstores Cork Premier Senior Hurling champions. Sarsfield's back up and running. Looking forward to seeing how you go over the coming weeks and into the championship. But for now, Johnny Crowley, thanks very, very much for taking the time to speak to us here on the Big Red Bench.
You're more than welcome, Johnny. Thank you very much.
Well, it is time for a bit of rugby now. I want to go to the Energia AIL results.
Energia AIL updates on the Big Red Bench. With Energia, think of the possibilities.
Mixed bag here today anyway. Munster are off the back of a 45 point to nil drubbing against the Sharks down in South Africa, so they'll be certainly disappointed. But anyways, in the Energia All-Ireland League in Division 1A, Cork Conn, they beat Nina Ormond 40 points to 19. In Division 1B, Highfield, they were handed defeat by City of Armagh, 12 points to 25 finished in that one, while at UCC lost 35 points to 40 against Old Wesley. Energia AIL updates, though, thanks to Energia, think of the possibilities. Last, you know, while we're quickly running out of time, Irish Olympian hammer thrower Nicola Tuttle claimed her and the country's first ever European senior hammer silver medal in Cyprus recently. And the Cork native is busy building up towards this August's European Athletics Championships, and they're being held in Birmingham, England. Nicola took time out from her hectic schedule to speak to the Big Red Bench's Ger McCarthy following her senior silver medal success. Tongue twister there.
Now, we are delighted to be joined by Irish Olympian and new European senior hammer silver medalist, Nicola Tuttle. Nicola, congratulations on this fantastic achievement in Nicosia this past weekend. You must be thrilled.
Thank you. Yeah, no, I'm absolutely delighted. I guess I've been looking for that mark on paper for a while now, and coming back from injury, I think it was quite there my first year in the senior category at the Troyen Cup, and to be able to come away with Ireland's first senior medal was pretty special.
Does the fact it's Ireland's first senior medal like that, I mean, that's obviously something significant and obviously something to be even more proud of?
Yeah, exactly. Like, I think the throwing in Ireland is in a really strong place at the moment, and there's a good few young athletes coming up as well. So it's really nice just to see that, like, last year we brought home a couple of medals in the under 23 category, and now this year we're able to bring home the two senior medals. So it's really great to see just where throwing is at in Ireland as well.
Indeed it is, and your own personal growth is pretty obvious, because Nicosia was the venue for last weekend's European Throwing Cup, where you threw a new personal best of 72.48 metres. And to put that achievement into context, the gold medalist Denmark's Katrine Koch-Jacobsen, she had to throw 75.52, which is a new national record and a world leading effort. So there was serious competition in Nicosia, but as you've done at under 23 level, replicating it at senior level, you must be even more happy with that and getting the personal best.
Yeah, 100%. Like, it was a really strong field of athletes. Like, the European champion from Rome in 2024 and the girl who was bronze in Rome, like, were both behind me. So it was a very strong field. There's a lot of really strong girls there, and there was a lot of girls within the mix and that were close by, so it made for a really good competition.
Your new personal best also improves on the 71.75 you threw back in August. I would imagine at this point, early point of the year as it is, you and your coach can see and feel the progress, especially with the injury issues that you had coming out of the winter, and winning the silver medal is proof that you're on the right track.
Yeah, exactly. I think it was really nice to go out there and throw PB. I've been looking for that distance for a while, and I'm really glad that I've got it now, and I think it makes it that extra bit special, just considering I was injured before Christmas and my preparation wasn't what I would have liked it to be. I had to adjust training, so it was quite a disruptive winter block of training. So to be able to come out and produce a PB, I'm really excited to just get back training now and get a few heavy blocks of training in before competing again.
Yeah, and that's the thing, Nicola. You mentioned there that, like, missing, I think it was close to a month, if not over it, of winter training. I mean, that's a big chunk for anybody at the high end of the competition like yourself. But your coach, Killian Barry, you've clearly been able to come out of that, and you've been able to put a plan in place. And, like, in the build-up to Nicosia, was that on your mind, the fact that you'd missed so much training?
Yeah, 100%. Like, I didn't throw, like, you throw with two arms, and I didn't throw that way for, there was 5 weeks where I didn't throw at all. Like, I was throwing just one-handed. Like, Killian was really good to adjust my program and to make sure that I was still working. And even after that, the build-up had to be slow and had to be managed. I'm really lucky with my sport team up in Sport Ireland that they were able to manage me through that injury. And my coaches, like Seth, Killian, changed my program for throwing, and then my gym coach, Roland, as well, making sure that I was ready. But, like, there was a point in January where we hadn't decided if I would compete or not in March. And I'm just really glad that I was once I got through all of that and was getting back into the training that it was going well. And I think even having had those injuries, like there's so many other things that you're able to work on, and I was able to really focus in on my technique and make some really good changes. And hopefully now, like as the summer goes on, I'll be able to hold that and improve some more. And I think while it was very frustrating that I wasn't doing the original plan, I think we as a team we worked really well and we adapted it so that I as much as I could done, and I was working a lot on technique, and we've made some changes that have resulted, I guess, in me throwing a PB, so it's really promising.
Yeah, I read at one point you were throwing one with one hand. I don't know if that's correct or not, and forgive my ignorance of how you prepare, but I'm pretty sure you need to use both hands, but that sounds a bit unorthodox, but it clearly worked.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you throw with two arms, and I wasn't able to do that with that injury, so we just adjusted and did it with one hand instead, and I guess it worked for me. I think I was able to work on different things doing that and different drills as well, just to focus on technique. And I guess I am still young in the sport and there's still so much that I can improve on. So I think while it was frustrating that I couldn't do the original plan, I think the plan that we put in place to keep me training throughout that time worked well, that I could focus in on that technique and get some changes, and kind of, I guess it worked for the period of time that I had to do it. It obviously didn't do too much harm.
Another difference coming out of the winter and into the new year for you, Nicola, was the fact you were coming off so many awards that you've won, both in Cork, both national awards and both local awards. Does this year feel different because of that, or is it just more of the same and you focus on the controllables?
I think I just focus on the controllables. Like, winning those local awards are so special to me, and I think especially the local ones, it's always an honour to win them. And down in Cork and West Cork, like, there's so much talent in sport, and like, I was completely shocked that I won some of the ones that I won. Like, there's just so much talent there across all different sports, and it was really exciting that I was kind of in amongst that and able to I guess win them awards. And it was definitely a confidence boost, but also to me, I'm still the same, putting in the same training and always wanting to improve myself. So it was like straight back to training. I wasn't missing any training. Be out in the pitch a few hours before I go to the awards days. So it's always special to go there and meet all the other athletes as well, and just kind of to win them on like an extra bonus. I think it was really special, but yeah.
And fully deserved, and lovely to see your parents as well, Norman Clayton, your family and extended family. I mean, over the winter months and into the new year with the amount of awards that you won, it was lovely for them to get to share that with you.
Yeah, 100%. Like, I think my family are so, so supportive of me. Like, from the very beginning in my sporting career, like building the cage for me at home, and then also just if I need anything at all, like, they're so good to me. Both my mom and my dad and my sisters helping me in any way possible, and I definitely wouldn't be where I am without them. So it was really special to be able to go to the awards days with them and for them to experience as well. Because like I always say, like, while I win the award, there's a massive team around me that helped me get there. So it was nice that they were able to share that with me.
Indeed it was. Now, the immediate future, I assume, Nicola, Eileen O'Keefe's national record, and I imagine 73.21 is written down somewhere very close to you, not too far away from you, is firmly in your sights. Is that a personal motivation, or, you know, I'm not suggesting for a second that you're not thinking about it or thinking about it all the time, but when you see that national record, you're inching closer to it again now coming out of Nicosia. How much of a personal motivation is it for you to get that national senior award now, record?
I think, like, it's definitely something that I've thought about and that I have in the back of my mind, something that I'd love to achieve. But 73.21 is a massive throw. I would absolutely love to get it. Like, it would be really, really nice to say that, like, I'm the furthest in the country. So it's definitely something I'd love to get. But like I said, it is a big throw and it won't come easy. But yeah, I'm excited to keep training and see if I can get to it, and then hopefully maybe push out past it at some stage in the near future.
Indeed, the near future. Longer term, your main target is clearly the European Athletics Championships taking place in Birmingham in August. Now, the question I have for you is, you've already have the qualifying standard, and when you already have that qualifying standard, how much does that affect your preparations, or does it, to yourself and Killian and your team, because you've got the standard? You know, do you alternate, do you change what you're planning on doing between here and August, or is it just, you know, the exact same plan, you want to get to Birmingham in the best possible shape and really go for it?
I guess, like, yeah, like, the main competition this year will be European Championships in August, so I guess definitely having that automatic standard from, like, having thrown that last August has taken a lot of pressure off. In all the previous years, I've had to travel a lot to get ranking points to qualify for the major championships, whereas this year will be my first time now that I've actually just qualified for them without having to do all of those ranking competition, so it kind of means that I'm able to focus more on training throughout the summer, and I will definitely still travel a lot to get like competitions in and high level competitions, but I don't have to travel as often, which I think will hopefully make a big difference, especially this year now, having missed that winter training block. I have the ability to go now back into training for a few months without worrying about competing. I can just go back, focus on training, make sure that my body is staying in one piece, and then I'm ready to go for August, because that's my main target. So it's nice to have like a little bit less pressure that I'm not chasing qualification this year, that I can kind of play around more and pick and choose which competitions I want to do.
Excellent stuff. Finally, Nicola, are you finding it, are you able to enjoy all of this? Because there is a lot of extra attention on you now, more so maybe than there was this time 12 months ago. Maybe I'm wrong, but I do see your name a lot more in the newspapers. I see you're on the radio clearly now, and you're online quite a bit as well, like all the Irish Olympians. Do you feel any additional pressure, or are you able to enjoy where you are right now in your career?
I'm really enjoying it. I think I love sport. Like, I don't think anyone would be able to, like athletes, like they train so hard. And there's certain things that you have to kind of not even miss out on. Like, I don't feel like I'm missing out on anything because I absolutely love what I'm doing. So I don't feel like I'm missing out on anything. But like, you couldn't put yourself through all of the long hours and all of the hard training if you didn't love it.
At Mount Carmel, we care for every part of you, from simple checkups to complex surgeries and everything in between. With a team of primary and specialty care physicians, specialized nurses, and expert staff who not only help you get better, but help you stay well. Here, care is compassionate, personal, trusted. We provide care without limits, so you can live that way too. Mount Carmel, more care for all of you.